Genesis 49, 49th chapter of the book of Genesis. We're going to look at Joseph for a little while this morning on the subject of fruitfulness. Joseph in the Bible, of course, a great type of Christ, a great man of God. And hopefully we could take something home with us in just a little bit from his life that'll help us. Genesis 49. We're going to begin by reading the first two verses of the chapter. Then we're going to drop down and read verses 22, 23, and 24. So let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book before we get into the special and the preaching. Chapter 49, Genesis. I'll read verse 1. Please join me on verse 2. And then I'll drop down to 22. Please join me on verse 23. And I'll finish up with verse 24. And our Bible says, "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together, and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father." Now, verse 22. "Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him, and shot at him, and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel." Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless the message of the song and the message of the Bible to our hearts. And our Father, we bow before you and ask you now, please, to meet with us. We ask you, Lord, to take the music and prepare our hearts with it, Lord. And then the message from your book. Oh, the promise we have that it will not return void. It's a powerful book. It's alive. And I pray it'll make a difference in us today. And dear Father in heaven, if there's one in our midst who has no fellowship with you, if there's one in our midst who has no relationship with you, if there's one in our congregation this morning unsaved, without Christ, headed to a Christless eternity, I pray that the Spirit of God will do a good work in that heart especially, and then in every heart. And we'll be careful to thank you for it. Help us and bless us. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. morning. Genesis 49 and verse number 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. And I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, Joseph's well. Notice that he is a fruitful bough by a well. Let's pray together. Now, dear Father, I pray that you'll help me as I enter this time of preaching. This is not a ritual that we go through every time we preach. Stop and ask one more prayer just because it's ceremonial. We believe, Lord, that the preaching of your word must be done in the power of your Spirit if it's to accomplish anything good and lasting. And so we come one last time to plead for your help. May your Spirit be our portion this morning to enlighten our minds, Lord, to shed light on truth so that we may see it, receive it, and be the benefactor. Lord, may it fall on good ground today. That's my plea. Help now in Jesus' name and amen. Genesis 49 is an interesting chapter. It contains the last will and testament of Jacob. The chapter begins with him on his deathbed, and it ends with him passing away at verse number 33. Now, between verses number 1 and verse 33, Jacob utters prophetical information about and to his 12 sons. They had 12. And what Jacob said to those boys was lived out in future generations among the tribes bearing their names. That's an interesting study in and of itself. If you could just follow each one of these boys down through history as it's recorded in the Bible, you'll see how much of what happened to them and their descendants is prophesied here in chapter 49 in the book of Genesis. Now, Jacob begins with Reuben, and he moves down through all the sons, and he saves Joseph and Benjamin till the end. Now, if you know the Bible, you know the Bible stories, it's no secret that Jacob's first love was Rachel. That was his first love. Man, when he saw Rachel, he wanted Rachel to be his wife. He worked for her for 7 years, and then Laban pulled a switcheroo on him and gave him Leah instead of Rachel. He wasn't real happy about that at the beginning, and I can understand that. Amen. I mean, it wouldn't have been very nice if you walked down the aisle, fellas, if you walked out on the platform and who walked down the aisle was the sister of the one that you wanted to marry. Amen. Think about that. You'd be married to your sister-in-law now instead of your wife. That could be tough. Amen. But anyway, he worked for 7 more years to get Rachel for his wife, and she was his first love. So it stands to reason that these boys that Rachel birthed, Joseph and Benjamin, she only had two. She died in childbirth with Benjamin. Okay? So it stands to reason that these boys had a special place in his heart, okay? Because he loved Rachel. That was his first love. So he loved her two sons, Joseph and Benjamin. Now, Jacob says about Joseph in verse number 22, Joseph is a fruitful bough. This is the 15th, third Sunday, by the way. It's hard for me to believe that the first month of this year is halfway gone today. It's unbelievable how time just flies. Boom, and here we are. We've talked this year so far on Sunday morning about the matter of fruitfulness, bearing fruit this year, and being like the man, the blessed man, who is like the tree planted, not a volunteer, but a tree planted in that prepared place by the rivers of water, and he brings forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he does, it will prosper. We've been talking about that kind of a year for me and for you. Joseph was the recipient of some tremendous blessings in his father's last will and testament. Look at verse 25. Just look at it for a moment with me. Look at what Jacob said here in verse 25. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. Jacob said, God Almighty is going to bless you with spiritual blessings. That's the blessings from above. He's going to bless you with material blessings or temporal blessings. That's the blessings from beneath. He's going to bless you with family blessings. Oh, you see, the blessings of Jacob exceeded the blessings of Isaac and Abraham, his father and grandfather. Look at verse 26. He said, the blessings of thy father, that's himself now, have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors. That word means my ancestors. He's speaking there about Isaac and Abraham. You see, you'll find if you read through the Bible that God is called the God of Jacob more than He is called the God of Abraham and more than He is called the God of Isaac. Now, I want to tell you something, friend. Before I searched that out for myself, if you had asked me, I never would have said that. I would have said that you'll find God referred to as the God of Abraham far more than you find Him referred to as the God of Jacob. But it's not so. He's called the God of Jacob over and over again far more times than God is called the God of Abraham. Jacob had more blessings, unbelievably so. But he had more blessings to impart to his sons than he had received from his ancestors. And look at the close of verse number 26. Look at the middle of the verse, I mean. They shall be on the head of Joseph. Jacob said, son, I've got so many blessings to pass down to you, and all of them, more than my daddy passed to me, more than my granddaddy passed to my daddy. I've got all these blessings, and they're all going to come to rest on your head. Your head. These blessings. Now, Joseph was a fruit bearer. Can you see here that fruitfulness and blessing go together again? We saw that last week in Psalm chapter 1. Fruitfulness and blessing go together. They are twins. Again, God blesses those whose lives bear fruit. Fruitfulness brings more blessing. Look, folks, God intends more for us than to just deliver us from hell. Now, thank God He does deliver us from hell. Amen. Thank God that He sent Jesus to die on that cross. And if you're not saved this morning, let me say one word to you and then move on a couple sentences. Everybody's born into this world on their way to hell. Everybody's born with a sin nature. Everybody is born going away from God. And there's only one thing that brings you back to God and makes you right with God, and that's the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. And God provided a way for us to be delivered from hell. But once you're delivered from hell, God intends more for your life and intends more to your life than just being delivered from hell. He desires our lives to be one of fruitfulness and blessing. You say, Pastor, you've been on this subject for 3 weeks now. That's right. This is the desire of my heart for me this year. It's the desire of my heart for my staff this year at church. It's the desire of my heart for the people of Faith Baptist that this year would be a life of fruitfulness and blessing for you. In your marriage, in your home, in your family, everywhere. I want you to experience the blessed life and all that God has for you. That's my burden. That this year, every person in this room will receive the blessing that God has for you to enjoy this year. Now, allow me to point out a couple of statements here and talk about it for a little bit that Jacob made to his son Joseph. Look at verse 22 here. And look at what he said. Let's break this down just a minute. First of all, Jacob said to Joseph, Joseph is a fruitful bough. Now stop right there. That's the first thing he said. Now I want you to notice the references to the present. Joseph is. That's present tense. That means right now. You might wonder what the word bough means. The word bough means son. Okay? So what he's saying here, Joseph is a fruitful son. And if you know anything about the Bible, Joseph was the son on whom the future of the family rested. It was Joseph who was in a position to keep his dad alive. It was Joseph who was in a position to keep his brothers alive. It was Joseph who was in a position to keep their families alive. Are you with me this morning, church? If he hadn't been in Egypt, they would have died of starvation. Joseph was that fruitful son, that fruitful bough, present tense. It was Joseph's fruitfulness that they all ate of. It was Joseph's fruitfulness that nourished them and sustained them. And I like what it says there. He is, present tense, right now, this moment, a fruitful son. Now look, this is remarkable when you stop to consider all that had taken place in Joseph's life. Think about it. Think about all the things that had gone backwards in his life. All the things that had gone wrong in his life. All the things, watch it, that steal our joy that never stole Joseph's. He is a fruitful son. Present tense. How about being hated by his brothers? How about that? They hated him. They planned to kill him. And if Reuben, the oldest brother, had not intervened, those boys, those younger brothers, would have killed Joseph when he was 17, 19 years of age, because they hated him. And they made, hey, by the way, it was no secret. They didn't hold that in. They weren't closet haters of Joseph. They were out in the open haters. They hated Joseph. And yet still, in spite of that, Joseph is a fruitful son. A fruitful son. How about being sold into slavery? You know, and we don't let the Bible, we don't let it be real. Look at chapter 42. I was reading there this week, and something jumped out at me. I've read it, I don't know how many times since I've been saved, but I never saw it before. Look at Joseph in chapter 42 of the book of Genesis and verse number 21. This is when his brothers now have come to Egypt, and boy, they're having a hard time with the corn and the money. And, you know, unfortunately, in a sermon like this, you don't have time to lay the foundation and groundwork for every part of the message. But I want you to notice what the brothers said here in verse 21. And they said one to another, "We are verily guilty concerning our brother. In that," watch it, "we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear." Have you stopped to live in your imagination what it must have been like for that 18-year-old boy to be sold to those slaves traveling to Egypt? Well, I'll tell you what didn't happen, folks. What didn't happen was, hey, here we go. We got this boy right here. We'd be happy to sell him to you for a slave if you'd like to give us 20 pieces of silver. They looked him over and said, yeah, he's a good, strapping, strong boy. 20 pieces of silver is all you want? Sure, we'll give you 20 pieces of silver for him. And they said, okay, Joseph, take care. And Joseph said, okay, brothers, God bless you, man. We'll see you later. That's not what happened. Now, every one of you 18-year-olds need to put yourself in the place that Joseph was in. He realizes what's happening here. He is being sold as a slave to a band of Ishmaelites who are taking him to Egypt. And the Bible says that those boys stood there and they heard the anguish of his soul. They heard his pleas. They heard his cries. And they ignored him. I can hear Joseph as an 18-year-old boy, "Please, please, don't, no, please. Oh, please, Reuben, help me, Reuben, please. Asher, do something." Hey, screaming, weeping and pleading the anguish of his soul. And that little camel caravan moving slowly across the desert toward the horizon. And every now and again they heard the cries of Joseph in anguish again. "Please help me. Oh, please help me." He's in anguish. They did nothing. They turned a deaf ear. They wouldn't hear his pleas. They wouldn't help him. They watched that boy be carried off into slavery. And yet still, in spite of all that, Joseph is a fruitful son. He is a fruitful son. Present tense. Well, when he got down there to Egypt, he was sold to Potiphar. He started working for Potiphar. Potiphar's wife took an evil, wicked liking to him and tried to seduce him into a relationship. And he closed his ears and he closed his eyes and he wouldn't give in to her evil intentions until one day she grabbed his coat and said, "Come to bed with me." And Joseph took off and left his coat in her hands. And then she took that coat and went out to her Egyptian workers and said, "The Hebrew just came in here and tried to force me." Now Potiphar takes him and throws him in prison where the king's prisoners were kept. You know what that means? Death row. He's put in the worst of the worst places. In the worst of the worst prisons. And yet, Joseph is a fruitful son. Is present tense. Here comes the baker. Has his dream in the prison. Joseph interprets his dream and the baker is released from prison. And Joseph says, "Hey buddy, would you put a good word in for me when you get to see Pharaoh?" And the butler says, "No problem, I'll put in a good word for you." And the butler forgets about him for 2 years. Forgotten by the man that could have helped him. 2 full years pass. He's still in prison. He could have been released. And yet, Joseph is a fruitful bough. Are you getting what's happening here, folks? Joseph remained a fruitful son. He remained a fruitful man of God through all the disappointments, through all the sorrows, through all the anguish, through all the loneliness. Joseph was fruitful. You know what that tells me? That tells me, look, I have no idea what this year holds. No idea what this year holds. I don't know what it holds for me, and I don't know what it holds for you. I don't know if it holds advances or if it holds going backward. I don't know if it holds heartache and sorrow. I don't know what it holds. But I do know this. I do know in spite of what this year may hold for you and in spite of what this year may hold for me, if it holds disappointment, if it holds loneliness, if it holds anguish, if it holds sorrow, those things don't have to make me unfruitful. They don't have to be. I can be a fruitful Christian in spite of those things. Listen very carefully. It is possible for a child of God to shoulder some extreme circumstances and still be fruitful. It's possible. Every child of God in this room can shoulder some extreme circumstances in life and still be fruitful. Here's the bottom line. It didn't matter if Joseph was at home with his dad and family, or if he was a slave at Potiphar's house, or if he was a prison in the king's prison on death row. He was a fruitful son. In spite of all those circumstances, he was fruitful and blessed. Though the circumstances of his life changed, and the things happening around him were not pleasant, he was fruitful. You say, Brother Andrew, you have a burden for me to be fruitful this year. You must plan all kinds, you must have in mind all kinds of prosperity and good health and all kinds of positive things going on. Don't know that. That'd be nice, but I can't predict that. Can you? Can you predict that for me? No. But I know one thing. I know in spite of the circumstances you or I may encounter this year, it is still possible for us to be a fruitful son. It is possible for us to be a fruitful Christian. Now watch this. How did he remain fruitful? Look at the next phrase. The Bible says Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a... What's the next word? Well. If you're not in verse 22, the word is well. He's a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a... Well, you know why Joseph was fruitful in spite of difficult circumstances? He was locked into a well. He was locked into God. Jacob said, Joseph, you are a fruitful bough planted by a well. What is a well, friend? A well is a fountain of water. And Joseph was planted by that fountain of water. And that water nourished him and blessed him at all times. No matter the circumstances around him on the outside, Joseph was fruitful from within because he had his own personal well. You say, what was that well? Well, Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. God said, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Look, folks, I'm trying to hammer this truth home to my Sunday school class, tried to hammer it home to the school and chapel the other day. The pursuit of things that are important in this world will not produce true happiness and joy. They will not. But a living, real relationship with God, where you walk with God and talk with God and live for God and serve God. Watch it. It's like a fountain of living water coming up from within. And if everything around you is going sour, Joseph, you still can be a fruitful person. You still can be a blessed man. You still can be a blessed lady. You can still be a blessed young man or young lady. You can still have God's blessings, because it's not the things on the outside that determine your blessing. It's what's on the inside that determines your blessing. A fountain, a well. A well of water springing up. You see, God is the fountain, the well of living water. I read a little story the other day. about in the southeast of England, there is this perfect illustration. In the southeast of England, there's a bay called St. Margaret's Bay. And in that area down there, there's St. Margaret's Bay, there is a well that is always covered by seawater, ocean water, at the high tide. Always. Now, how many of you folks have been around the ocean at some point? Okay. What's the ocean water like? Salty. Briny, right? So here's this well. Every high tide, it's covered by seawater. Salty, briny water. And yet, all the time, that well, the water that is in that well, remains fresh and pure and not contaminated by the briny, salty water. So you got briny, salty water coming over the top of the well. And yet the water that's in the well is never salty, never briny. It remains fresh. It remains pure. It remains uncontaminated, not contaminated. It's fresh, pure water. How is that? Very interesting. That well is fed by a spring that begins far up in the hills above it and comes down and feeds that well. And the flow of that spring, that continuous flow of fresh, pure, unadulterated, uncontaminated, pure spring water keeps that well filled to the brim. The salt water comes over the top, but there's no room for it to get in. Are you with me? So it just passes over. And the well remains pure and clean and uncontaminated. And I thought, what a picture of how every child of God ought to be. We are living in a briny, salty, filthy world. And if we have any room in us, it's going to pour in. You say, is it possible in a briny, salty, old world to remain pure and fresh and uncontaminated and fruitful? Yes, it is. You've just got to be hooked into the fountain. You've got to be hooked into the spring that comes up from within and keeps you so full. The old world doesn't have a place to get in. You follow me this morning? Huh? That's exactly what happened to Joseph. The old salty water of being hated by his brothers came over his life, but it never got in his life. The old salty water of being sold into slavery washed over his life, but it never got in his life. And the old salty water of being lied about and falsely accused and put in prison wrongfully flowed over his life, but it never got in his life. And being forgotten about and experiencing loneliness for 2 years. 2 years. It washed over his life, but it never got in his life. And I'm thinking, oh, child of God, hey, Terry Angel, who knows what things are going to flow over your life this year. But no matter, it is still possible for you to keep that fruitful, blessed, joyful, abundant life that God wants for you. It all depends if you got your well or not. How close are you to the well? Are you hooked into the spring? Are you hooked into the fountain, the well of living water? You know, I had the dirt up here last Sunday night. Made a horrible mess with that dirt. And I wouldn't ask Joyce Smith to clean it up. So my good wife came over and cleaned it up. Joyce probably would have cleaned it up anyway. But Joyce Angel came and cleaned it up. And I was going to bring some water this morning and illustrate this. But I thought, you know, I made enough of a mess last week. I think I'll just let well enough alone. But you know what I wanted to bring this morning? I wanted to bring, if you could picture it, I wanted to bring a big tub. And I wanted to have a colander. You know what a colander is? Okay. And I wanted to have a big pitcher of water. And I wanted to pour that water in that colander. Fill it up. And all the while, what's happening? It's coming out of all those holes. And I wanted to say to you, this is what happens when you pursue happiness in this world. Because the things of this world don't hold water. They don't hold any water. It all leaks out. It might look full. It might look enticing. And you might jump into the middle of it. But you know what you're going to find out in a few days, a few weeks, a few months? It's what? Dry. Empty. I was thinking about that, man. The style and fashions of this world hold no water. The material gains of this world hold no water. Worldly pleasures hold no water. Come on, folks. There's not a Christian in this room that can testify that you've never pursued happiness in a place that you shouldn't have looked for it. All of us have to some point or another. All of us have. You ever plan anything that you thought, oh boy, this is it. This is the trip. This is the thing. This is the event. This is the greatest thing we could ever do. And we've looked forward to it. And it's going to bring so much and get on that thing in the middle and everything go wrong. And you're stuck with the realization, you know what? True happiness is not in the material things of this world. It's not in the fashions and the styles of this world. It's not in the worldly pleasures that I have to enjoy down here. I might enjoy them for what they're worth, but they're not holding. They're not lasting, but a walk with God and a relationship with Christ and reading my Bible and being decent and living a Christian life and serving God, the simple things in life, those things hold water. And I can have a well springing up from within if I'll just follow God and love God and obey God and serve God. It's not an oppressive life. It's a well of water springing up with a fountain of joy. Don't make the mistake of looking for blessing and fruitfulness in life from the wrong sources. Temporary smiles and silly grins and vain laughter cannot compare with inward joy and blessing and real happiness. And only God can provide that. Only God can provide that. And Joseph had that in spite of all those things that were going backwards in his life. He is a fruitful bough. But now wait a minute. Look at number two here. Look at what else Jacob said. Not only is Joseph a fruitful bough, his blessings spilled over onto others. And by the way, folks, I'm not I'm not the most educated, smartest man, the wisest man in the world, but I'm not dumb either. When you're a pastor, you're privy to things. And I've watched folks, literally, I've watched folks leave the simple life of just living for God and start pursuing happiness and all the glitter and all the sparkle of the world. And you know what I've watched? I've watched their joy go like this. And the more they may do and get, it does not put a smile on their face. It brings no joy. The joy level just goes, shh. And I've watched simple people, just with simple things, pursue a life of serving God and living for God and walking with God and putting Him first in every area. And the smile just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. It's called a well. I'm talking to some people today. You have increased materially, but your joy is 50% less than it was before. 50% less. That's because they're not tied together. Just because you get more things doesn't mean you're going to be happier. I'll tell you what I told somebody the other day. All these conveniences, all these techno things that are supposed to make my life so convenient have made me poor. My gracious. $55 at Office Max the other day for a cable and two cartridges. I said, 5 minutes. I was in that store 5 minutes. Came out with a cable and two cartridges supposed to make my life all the more convenient. I had $55 less in my bank account. It's crazy. All these things, and I'm not against that. But I'm saying I don't go there looking for my joy. I don't go there to find my happiness. A new laptop or a desktop or some new internet service. Yippee, I finally got it. You're looking for joy in the wrong place, friend. It's not there. That's a colander with holes in it. Pour water in there. It just leaks out. Pretty soon, it costs you more to keep it up than you can even begin to enjoy. Amen. You think about all the money we're spending now on conveniences in the last 10 years. Cell phones, computers, cartridges, cables. Think about all the money being in your pocket if it wasn't for those conveniences. I know. Some of you techno geeks, you're thinking, man, that guy is off the bubble. I'll tell you what, friend, it's a good picture. I've got computers and I use them. Amen. I'll tell you, that's not the source of my joy. In fact, a few months ago, I spilled a whole cup, not a half a cup, a whole cup to the brim full of coffee all over the laptop I was using. Unlike that well over in England, that coffee got in that laptop. Is ruined. And that's bad. But I didn't have to beat my wife and kick the kids and come to church and be a donkey because I lost my laptop. Because that kind of thing should just wash over us. We should be so full of what God is doing for us and the privilege to know Him and talk to Him and listen to Him and sing and have Christian friends and have His blessings. We should be so full of that that stuff just washes over us. Are you with me this morning? Just washes over us. No big deal. Move on. Look at number two here. I got to quit. Number two. Not only is Joseph a fruitful bough, but his blessings spilled over onto others. Look at what he said here. He said, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. Hey, without turning to it, if you'd like to read it this afternoon, you ought to look at it. Chapter 39. Chapter 39. Come here, Brother Caleb. Chapter 39 talks about Joseph. We'll let Brother Caleb be Joseph. I'll be Potiphar. Okay? Chapter 39 talks about how, watch it, Joseph was a slave to Potiphar. And Potiphar's house was blessed. And you know why it was blessed? Because he was there. He had so many blessings, they spilled over to Potiphar. And you know what the Egyptian people did? Boy, oh boy, how about that Potiphar? Well, that Potiphar's quite a man, isn't he? Boy, oh boy, that Potiphar. You see his house over there? What a house. You see his place over there? What a place. You see all those servants he's got? My goodness, what a head for business. What a leader. What an austere businessman. What a man. Boy, that Potiphar, man, that Potiphar's great. That Potiphar's tremendous. Boy, if I could just be like Potiphar, 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 Potiphar. They had no idea. They had no idea that everything he was enjoying was because of that slave boy. Are you listening this morning? Everything he enjoyed was because of him, his blessing. And by the way, remember when he got, let's go to the jail now. Now he's in jail and I'm the man in charge. Guess what? Your Bible says that the man in charge had no worries. He didn't have any worries about that jail. The prisoners behaved. Nobody gave any trouble. He slept with his head on the pillow at night, never woke up in the night, never worried, never fretted. He absolutely, his job was a snap. You know why his job was a snap? Read Genesis 39. Because that guy was in his jail. Everywhere he went, he was so full of blessings that when you got close to him, they just spilled over on you. Wouldn't you like to be like Joseph? Thank you, Brother Caleb. Wouldn't you like to be like that? I would love to be like that. I would love to be so full that everywhere I went, so full of this, the blessing and fruitfulness of God and the fountain in my life, that everybody's life that I touched, they got blessed in some way just because they overflowed. I'd love to be like Joseph. You know, my wife and I have talked before. We're convinced that her dad is that way. We're convinced. I could give you things, stories, illustrations, but I don't have time for that. We're convinced that our lives are blessed because He is so full. And those of you folks who know John pretty well, the blessings just spill over. And now we see it in our kids, his grandkids. The blessings are just spilling over He loses his arm. Things go backwards. They steal a car. A building on the farm burns down. All these backward things in his life. And he still stays full. Full. Full of blessing. Full of fruitfulness. Full of joy. Full of life. The blessings just flowing over, and they come to me and my wife, and they come to our children. You say, I don't believe that's even possible. Oh yes, the Bible says that King David was such a man of God and had such the touch of God in his life that God blessed 7 generations from Joseph, from David, because of how David lived. 7. Now illustrate that. Come here, bud. Come here, Austin, stand up here. All you guys are on the front row, except for Brother Mike. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Here we go. Spread out across here. 7 generations. Who we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. Austin, you be Joseph. Or you be David. You be David. Son, grandson, great grandson, great great grandson, great 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 grandson, great 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 grandson. You know what your Bible says? That God, after this guy was dead and gone, God was still blessing down here. Because of him. You talk about an impact. Can you imagine a life so full of blessing it just spilled over? For 7 generations? Can you imagine that? I can't imagine. 7 generations later, God is still blessing that boy because of this man. I tell you what, if you don't want that, you're crazy. Have a seat, fellas. Thank you. Don't you want that? My stars, man. You talk about a blessing. You talk about a way to live. I've met men who were driven by a desire to set their kids up with a financial foundation that would just set them for life. Driven by a desire to provide the best and the most of the world's goods. You know how the kids end up? They end up sour and empty. And on the other hand, I've seen those parents whose lives were fairly simple, but they were plugged in and planted by the well called God. And no matter the circumstances, no matter what went backwards, their lives continued to bear fruit. The blessings spilled over to the kids. The kids caught it. Huh? The truth of the matter is, your Bible says about Joseph that as long as there was a Pharaoh in charge who knew about Joseph, he treated the children of Israel kindly. That means Joseph's life was making an impact far beyond his death. I don't know about you, but I'd like that kind of life. He is a fruitful son. And he's by a well. Everywhere he goes, that well is with him. No matter what's happening on the outside, it's not spilling over to the inside because he's so full, it just keeps all that stuff out. And he's so full, it just spills over and spills over and spills over. You got a well like that? You can have. Joseph did. He's fruitful. Whew. Fruitful. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. Wonder this morning who sitting in the congregation could raise a hand and say, Pastor Angel, I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I have no doubt that I would go to heaven. I'm saved and I know it. If you're saved and you know it, be honest before God, would you raise your hand this morning? Indicating that you're saved and you know it. Anybody like, all right, very good. Thank you. Take the hands down. Now, is there one here this morning or more who said, Brother Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Pray for me. Pastor, would you raise your hand and pray for you this morning? I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Building mostly full of members this morning, a handful of visitors. But it doesn't matter. Membership in a church doesn't save you. Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that? All right. If you're saved this morning and you never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, you came for that purpose, or you know that you need to be baptized, would you raise a hand this morning and say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Anybody like that? I need to be baptized. Some have already gone back to follow the Lord. As we prepare to get them ready in the back now, anybody else want to join them today? I know that I need to be baptized. Anybody else? All right. Christian, you're saved, you're baptized on your way to heaven. Are you fruitful? You can be. And you can be fruitful now, present tense, in spite of the circumstances. And by the way, some of you in this congregation are going through some very difficult circumstances right now, and I understand that. But it doesn't have to rob your joy. It doesn't have to short-circuit your fruitfulness. If you'll be planted by the well, if you'll be fed from your walk with God inwardly, keep out the circumstances of life. Don't let them get in you. They're around you. Don't let them get in you. Are you fruitful? Are your blessings spilling over? And I'm not sure you'll ever know it. In fact, maybe you won't know it at all. But people down the way from you will. Pastor, I don't believe I'm there. I'd like to be there. Or I know I'm not there. Or I have a desire for that. Or God spoke to my heart this morning about something specific in what you said. And to be right with Him, I need to acknowledge that and raise my hand and say, pray for me. Something in the message spoke to my heart. Would you lift a hand this morning, wherever you're sitting? I see a lot of hands. God bless you. Thank you. Take your hand down. Dear God, in this room today, Lord, a good number of people raised a hand saying they'd like to be fruitful. Lord, I'd love to have that kind of life. I'd love to be like Joseph. I'd love to be like David. A man so full of blessing that it just spills over. I'd like to be like Joseph. A man so full on the inside, nothing from the outside has even a chance to get in. Lord, help us to realize where the true blessing is. And I pray for folks that might be pursuing joy and happiness and blessing in the things of this world. God, get their attention. Help them to see that a simple life of serving God, like we sang today, simply trusting every day, provides that joy. Help us, oh God. Make us fruitful this year. I pray in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's stand, please. If you're not sure that you're saved or you need to be baptized, come right to Brother Caleb in the middle of the room here and say, I need to be saved or I need to be baptized. If you don't do business with the Lord at the altar, if God spoke to your heart right now as they play, you come while we wait. Prepare to baptize. Would you come? There were several hands that went up. I joined you. I want that life of blessing. I want that spilling over. That's what I'd like to have, that spillage. Morning, we'll have time for you at the altar to wait to baptize. Let the Lord do a work in your life. Not one more verse in this song. Just as I am. Be seated, please, if you would. Look this way just for a moment.